All right, Jonah Cameron, John Ritchie on this Wednesday morning. Ross Tucker, in just a moment. Let me just say, though, of course, it's important to say September 11th. You know, reminder to everyone what this day is, what it represents for our nation, what it was 23, incredible to say now, 23 years ago. And, of course, I think more than anything, just our hearts go out this day to those that lost loved ones that day. I mean, the reality is any of us that were old enough to live through it, and the five of us in here were, you know, we all as Americans know what it represented to us if we did not lose a family member or a great friend or a friend of any sort, because it was a tragic day in every way possible and affected every American. But for those of you listening right now who lost a loved one that day, our hearts go out to you. I mean, we'll never forget you, because we'll never forget what September 11th was about, and obviously the impact on your life and all of our lives. So God bless us. God bless our country. God bless those that passed away, those that ran into the building, to try to save people. And look, 23 years, it'll always be momentous for the rest of our lives. There's no question about it. All right, let's talk some football with our next guest. Ross Tucker does a spectacular job, not only covering the Eagles, but of course the entire National Football League, which I do want to dive in to some of the around the league action. I mean, there was some interesting stuff that happened week one, including Dallas looked pretty good. Hate to say it, but they did. Now, maybe it was bad Cleveland.
Deshaun Watson was bad.
Listen,
wow,
he might be done.
He was the worst. I watched a lot of football. He was the worst quarterback I watched play yesterday, at least in my opinion.
He was a really good player, and everything that went down, it might have just totally derailed his career. He might not ever get it back.
He's got another suit that
just
got filed.
And that could create another domino of, does he get suspended again? We'll see. All right. Ross Tucker for all of it, but obviously heaviest on the Eagles. Good morning, Ross.
Morning, everybody. How are you guys?
Good, buddy.
Super,
doing
Ross.
Well. Ross, we got a 1-0 team, and listen, you know, man, that thing hung in the balance. That could have gone either way. Now, credit to the Eagles for pulling it out. I thought they slugged it out in a good way, but it was a sloppy game. What was your biggest takeaway from this week one victory, Ross?
Well, just how gigantic the win was, because you should not win a game like that in the NFL. I mean, if you turn the ball over twice and give your opponent, who, by the way, is like a top five team in my power rankings, you give them the ball twice in your red zone, and then you throw an interception in the end zone and take points off the board, guys, you are not going to win very many of those games in the NFL, period, let alone against a really good team. So I guess I came away from the game highly encouraged that they still found a way to win that game, and thinking that the ceiling for this team is really, really high if Jalen Hurts does not play like that moving forward. Now, obviously, the fumbled snap was a different deal, but
yeah.
if Hurts gets that out of his game, and I think he will, I am so encouraged. I'll tell you why, too, Joe. How about the debut for some of the new guys?
No question.
I mean, Saquon was ridiculous. My biggest question on the offensive side of the ball was Mekhi Becton at right guard, because I just hadn't really seen it. Guys, he was awesome. He was awesome. If he plays like that all year, the Eagles will have the best offensive line in the NFL again. Zach Bond was awesome. Quinyon Mitchell was awesome. Basically, every new guy, I guess with the exception of Huff,
yeah,
played very, very well, and it was almost like – it was almost like a showcase game on some level for Howie Roseman, because I thought the new guys were the leaders really on both sides of the ball.
That's an interesting point. And the receivers, who of course have been here, played well. But no, good points there. So, Ross, let's tackle the Jalen thing, because I agree with you. If he plays good or great this year, this team's going to be great. I mean, barring injuries, obviously, there's so much talent. So we had a poll yesterday, Ross. I was a little surprised by the answer results, and I'm curious where you would come down. The poll was, from week one, were you more encouraged or discouraged with Jalen? 52% said discouraged. I was surprised 48% said encouraged. Which would you have voted for?
I would say neither. I don't know that I was really encouraged. I don't know that I was discouraged. I guess I have faith that he's not going to make those type of egregious errors again. Because remember, not only did he have the two interceptions, but he had another one that should have been picked. That throw to Dotson.
Two of them.
That that could have easily been a pick six. So I guess here's how I would phrase it, Joe, if this makes sense. I am discouraged that he made those throws and made those decisions. I am encouraged because I just don't think he's going to do that a lot moving forward. But maybe I'm wrong. I mean, look, are we going to be sitting here every week talking about the three terrible decisions, horrible throws that Hurts made? I just don't see that being the case, that we're going to be talking about this every week. I don't know why it happened. I am not – I'm a little surprised based on how he did in training camp that he made those decisions and made those throws, but they won anyway.
No, they did. Well, it shows you how much talent there is.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, listen, Russ, I want to play some audio of Jaws because Jaws was on our program yesterday. Two pieces of audio related to the Hurts thing, and then we'll get to all the other topics because there's so much. But let's cue it up when Jaws was talking to us yesterday about Hurts in this game.
With this receiving core, I think you got to be very careful as a quarterback. You had so much confidence. This receiving core is phenomenal, by the way. And sometimes you can have too much confidence of squeezing the ball in the tight areas, and I think that's what he did. So he's got to be more judicious in where he decides to throw the football. To me, that was the mistakes he made that game were forced mistakes, forced by himself, not by the defense. He should not have been throwing the football where those interceptions happened.
All right, so that was interesting, obviously. But I thought this next point Jaws made was even more interesting. Here's Jaws on Hurts, and you can tell that his level of concern on Jalen is going up.
In your mind, very correctable, it sounds like.
Very correctly, but I'm starting to sense a pattern now. As I said earlier, it was 15 interceptions last year, now two in the first game. You know, I think you got to be real careful about protecting the football. It's very seldom you win this league minus two in the turnover category. Mm-hmm. And we turned over three times. Green Bay turned over one, and we won the football game. So that doesn't happen all that often. So you've got to protect the football.
Yeah, I think, Charles, one of the things I hear John, and he says this a lot, it's a correctable, of course it's correctable, but it's also sustainable. I mean, one of my concerns.
Yeah. You know, I'm starting to see a little bit of a pattern here. You know, trying to force balls in where they shouldn't go. You got to be very careful. You know, very careful with that football.
So, Ross, what gives you the sense that it won't continue the negative stuff? You know, that often.
Right. Well, I mean, that just can't. No quarterback can do that on a consistent basis. I guess what I'm concerned about is earlier in his career, he just didn't do that.
Correct.
You know, I mean, even when he was the first year he was starting and they ran the ball a lot, but obviously in 22, I don't really remember him putting the ball in harm's way very often. In fact, we would say, you know what, the best thing about Jalen right now is he doesn't turn it over.
Yeah, I mean, doesn't make the mistakes.
It's almost like it's flipped where now he can make great throws, and the Eagles can throw the ball over the place, but now he is putting the ball in harm's way. That's concerning. I don't think he's going to do that three or four times a game. My concern is, even if he just does it once, that can be the difference between winning and losing the game. I mean, there are interceptions that happen that maybe you get fooled. There are interceptions that happen where you make a bad throw. Guys, those were not even close. I mean, those were not even close or debatable.
Yep.
That's probably the most concerning thing to me.
How different was the pass protection from last year, Ross? How good a change was the protection change that was made with the new offense?
Yeah, so two things there. I can't emphasize enough how good Mekhi Becton looked at right guard. Like, John, he's better at right guard in his first game than I ever was in my whole life. It's unbelievable just watching some of the things.
Well, I don't know if that's not saying that much, Ross. I mean, if you said he was better than give me a great
Brandon guard, Brooks.
Brandon Brooks was a great guard.
Okay. Joe, I was just trying to tee you up. I was trying to tee you up for some self-deprecation there.
Yeah, but well no, done, well done.
In all sincerity, there I feel so good. As long as Becton can stay healthy, I feel so good about their offensive line and what they're going to be able to do this year. I mean, he looked better, I thought, at right guard than Juergens did last year. And Juergens got hurt twice. So if those guys can stay healthy, they'll be fantastic. And they ate up the blitz. I mean, they totally ate it up. They had a plan for it. He knew where to go with the ball. That would be the really encouraging aspect of Hurts and Kellen Moore and the protection is we all know, we all read the quotes that the book is out, and you just blitz them, that's the deal. Mm-hmm. Well, the Packers tried that, mm-hmm. and the Eagles kind of ate it up. And so more teams are going to try it. I think the Falcons will probably try it Monday night because you got to keep proving it. But if you keep destroying the blitz when people bring it, then they're going to be very, very – if you bring a blitz, look at all the guys you have to cover one-on-one. A.J. Brown, yeah. Devontae Smith, Goddard, even Saquon on, like, he could be a hot route or a quick check down. I mean, good luck. And that's the other thing. I'm sure, Joe, you're going to get into it. That guy looked like Penn State Saquon.
Yep.
That guy, like, found the fountain of youth. I mean, that was so exciting to see the burst he has. I'm not sure, and anytime I say stuff like this, it sounds like hyperbole, but the guy weighs over 230, okay? I'm not sure. I'm trying to think in my head, other NFL players that weigh more than 230 that look like they have rocket boosters coming out of their butt.
Well, it's like LeBron. How can you be that big and that fast? Like that, you know, there are some guys that just defy the normal rules of, you know, living.
And, right, and, some, and it changes, and those angles, I mean, really, like in-game, it actually affects in-game when guys are taking angles for the 235-pound guy who belies physics. Like, he's just so much faster than everyone else who's 235 pounds. You take the wrong angle, and you miss the play because he's just such a freak.
Yeah, I mean, Ross, I was totally... obviously, beyond encouraged by Saquon. I mean, I had wondered what he would have coming in. I thought he'd be good, but I wondered, you know, based on the injuries and the age, whether he would be diminished. And certainly one game in, he doesn't look at all. Russ, to what extent, though, do you think they won't lean on him that much moving forward? Let me frame it this way. I remember Chip Kelly's first game with the Eagles. So you have totally prime LeSean, totally prime. 2013 LeSean, it's Chip's first game. He's coming from college. You know they're going to run it a lot. And LeSean had 31 carries week one versus Washington. And I remember thinking at the time, that's an awful lot. I mean, it's probably the most any Eagles running back has had in the last 15 or 20 years, I would think. And LeSean Ross never had that many carries again under Chip Kelly. Do you think the Eagles can sustain that number with Saquon getting 26 touches and 24 carries?
I don't think so, and I don't think they will. I think that was a game that they had to have. And he was playing really, really well. I think as much as they can, and some of it is dictated by, you know, score and opponent and those things, I do think they will try to mix in Gainwell, who did some positive things, by the way, and Shipley a little bit more. You know, the Eagles have a really good sports science aspect of the organization. They realize how long of a season it is. This obviously looks like a playoff team. The goal, and yes, seeding is important, and they want to have the best record possible, but the Eagles' best – the reason why they don't play the guys in the preseason, or most of them, is because they think their best chance to win the opening game is if they have as many guys healthy as possible. The reason why I think they will be very judicious – with Saquon's usage is because I think they know they got a really good chance to be in the playoffs, and they know their best chance to get to Super Bowl and win it is if number 26 is flying around all around the field and not dinged up and not banged up. So I think they'll pick their spots. It'll depend on the game. I think there'll be other games where he gets that many touches, but I also think there'll be some games where he gets like 14 touches.
Yeah. I agree with that. By the way, it's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast today from the Tasty Cake Studio. Day after the Phils win, they've been on a pretty solid roll lately. Obviously lost Saturday and Sunday, but for the most part, really good baseball for the last 2.5 weeks. And the Eagles 1-0 out of the gate, getting ready for another game Monday. Speaking of that game Monday, you on Friday can win tickets to the game right here at 8 o'clock on the WIP Morning Show. But you got to know the name we said yesterday at 8 o'clock. You got to know the name we're going to say right now as we give you another chance to know a name that can win you the tickets.
And the name is...
The name is Darren Sproles. Every single time we lead into an Eagles home game, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, those 4 days, And by the way, this means home games, not in, like, you know, Brazil. Home games. We give away tickets courtesy of NovaCare on the Friday leading into the game. A name on Tuesday. We gave you one yesterday. Darren Sproles right now. A different name on Thursday. A fourth name on Friday. Friday at 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock Friday when we give you the cue to call. Be the first person to say the four names. And you can win, and will win, if you're the first person, the Eagles tickets for the game versus Atlanta, courtesy of NovaCare. All right, Ross, let's get some calls in here. We got a lot of questions for you and a ton of topics. Let's go to Richie right now. He's calling from Northeast Philadelphia. Good morning, Richie.
Joe, I'm so glad to have gotten on with Ross, because that's my overall point of this phone call. I don't have anything to add on the Eagles and Phillies, but as an avid listener of the show who doesn't miss a minute, and most of it is on the app, I called you last year when you released your football lineup for the season. And, I mean, it was amazing, guest after guest. And this year, I don't know how you did it, but you topped yourselves. And just with the addition, I mean, Ross is amazing, obviously, but to add BG, Kelsey, in studio, taking calls, and then pull Ray Diddy out of retirement, as a listener, I just wanted to thank you guys.
Thank you.
That's awesome. Star-studded. And, I mean, I couldn't ask for more. Seriously, thank you, guys.
Our pleasure. And, Richie, for those that don't know, so Jason Kelsey debuted with us last week. He'll be with us again tomorrow. It'll be Thursdays from, doing this off the top of my head,
7:30 to 8:30.
Yep, 7:30 to 8:30, and typically in studio, which is really, really something.
Yeah, listen, I'll be honest. I called James, and I said, isn't this a lot of guests? I mean, worried about breaking up the flow of the show, and James is like, no, not when they're in studio taking calls and adding in it. I was like, you know what? That's a great point. And when you just look at the lineup, it looks like a lot, but I know you guys, you'll make it work. And for football content and October coming, couldn't ask for more. And as far as
give me something ridiculous. Someone famous, ridiculous. What do you got?
Yeah. Well, Joe DeCamera getting caught with that cantaloupe.
Come on, man.
I was waiting for that.
Oh,
there are several Joe DeCamera answers that we could go with today. So.
Does he know something we don't?
Let me just say this. In the words of Shaggy, what did he say, John?
It wasn't me.
Ross, what did Shaggy say?
It wasn't me.
Correct. It was not I with that cantaloupe. All right, I just want to be clear.
Who was it?
It was my roommate.
I want to get this roommate on the show.
What's your roommate's name?
I don't normally give names.
Oh.
I will give you this one. His name is Rich.
And
I
so you could have a name.
And I haven't talked to him in 20 4 years or something.
Really?
Poor Rich.
Yeah. Boy, that'd
sold
be the
out
reunion.
On
So, yeah, I'll call him up. Hey, man, that cantaloupe story.
So you have no idea where Rich is now?
I do know he was in Connecticut as of a few months ago. I don't know quite the latest. All right, Ross, the Cowboys. So, you know, Deshaun Watson stinks, but are the Cowboys, are they again going to be a 12-win type team, and the stakes are high for the Eagles to need to win a lot of games in order to win the division? Because, you know, my hope, Ross, was even if the Eagles slid to 10 wins, you know, maybe Dallas isn't 10, they're less, and you still win the division. But I thought that was pretty impressive by Dallas the other day.
It was very impressive. I mean, they're on the road against a Browns team that is really talented. And I think the thing that jumped out to me the most is obviously Micah Parsons is just ridiculous, and Dak played well, and CeeDee Lamb and all that stuff. But the spots where I thought they had questions, like they have a rookie left tackle who only started 14 games at right tackle at Oklahoma in Tyler Guyton. They have a rookie center, guys, who's never played center before. Cooper Beebe was a guard at Kansas State. They both played well. So, and then the defense, I was skeptical of them bringing back one of my former coaches, Mike Zimmer, and changing things. They lost Dan Quinn, who obviously is in Washington now. The defense looked fantastic. So I guess I'm a little bit concerned from an Eagles perspective in the sense that the positions where I thought they clearly had question marks and would have issues, especially early in the season, those guys look good. I mean, their other DN, Marshawn Neyland, who's a second-round pick from Western Michigan, he looked good. I mean, all of the spots where they have rookies or guys that I thought, oh, man, that's a downgrade, that's a drop-off, those young kids actually played well, and it was only their first game. So we'll see.
Yeah.
But they did look like a team, and I don't know if they will, but they did look like a team capable of winning 12 games yet again this year.
Ross, you talk about the judicious usage of our number one back with Saquon. How does that judicious usage factor into our goal line and short yardage plans? Like, I would rather he take the pounding of, you know, gaining 1 yard at the goal line than our quarterback. Do you believe that we can function better by handing it off from under center to Saquon, goal line and short yardage, than the tush push thing? Like, has that gone the way of the dodo? And really, like, you look around the league, it doesn't seem like there are other teams having success.
Well,
with
and also
either.
Kelsey's retirement could change the equation. I mean, that is possible.
Well, so I still think the tush push will be highly successful. You know, they fumbled the one snap. The other one, it looked to me like Hurts might have slipped on
yeah.
the footing a little bit.
Yep. Yeah.
I will say, you know, Juergens is strong as an ox, so it's not a physical thing. But watching them have that issue made me appreciate Kelsey even more. Because what people don't realize, okay, picture you're like as crouched low in your stance as you possibly can be. And you need to fire off as low and hard as possible. But guys, you still need to snap the ball. So you need to make sure that the, like, they're going in. I don't know what that scientific physics thing is, but they're going in opposite directions. Your whole body needs to be going forward low and hard, but you still need the ball and your right hand to be going backwards. I'm actually amazed that over the last couple years that Kelsey and Hurts never had any, you know, center snap issue. Can you remember the preseason when these other guys would try it
yep.
and it was a disaster?
Yep. Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
every totally. Time Kenny Pickett or McKee tried it, they always had center snap issues. So that's something that they don't work very much in practice. Hurts and Juergens need to work that. And if they do, I think they'll be fine. I think tush push will still be successful. And, you know, the thing that's so interesting to me about Saquon, I think this needs to be said. My criticism with Saquon going back to Penn State was always about his vision. I felt like he would take negative yardage runs because he was trying to do too much or trying to hit a big play as opposed to just hitting it up there for 2, 3, 4 yards. Believe it or not, Penn State, and then when he went to the Giants, they had issues in short yardage because that's not that was earlier in his career, not his strength. I do think he's gotten
He's gotten better.
But if you watch the end zone copy of the game against the Packers, a couple of those big runs he had, they were not that well blocked at the point of attack. He had unbelievable vision and cuts to find openings on a couple of those runs. That was the other part of it. We know the guy is a physical phenom, but you know that one where he could have taken it to the house if he veered right and he looked like he was shot out of a cannon, that play was designed to go to the right. It wasn't there at all.
Ross, that's a one-yard run for most NFL running backs. Just don't go anywhere.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Wouldn't have gone far at all.